We're starting a series in Advent where we're going to be, over the next 4 weeks, looking at some of the metaphors in Scripture, especially the metaphors that come out of some of the prophetic words of Scripture. And today we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and it's going to be talking about grass. So just hold that in your hand. But while the baskets are going around with that, I'd like you to imagine something for me, if you would. And I'm going to have to take you to a bit of a dark place from an imagination perspective, but please go there with me if you would. So imagine that Washington, D.C. is in ruins. The Washington Monument has been tipped over. It's been lying on its side now for more than 20 years. The White House has been burned to the ground. The Capitol building, there is no stone. None of those massive blocks that make it up, none of them are on top of each other anymore. There's no building there. There's no reflecting pool. The Lincoln Memorial has been destroyed. The Jefferson Memorial has been destroyed. The war memorials, if you've ever been to D.C., they're just so moving. The Vietnam Wall, it's been toppled over. There is no U.S. currency in place. The currency that you need to use if you're going to go to a bank, if you're going to buy anything, it's currency of the country that has taken over our own. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But go there for a moment, if you would. So if you're going to buy something, you want into a store, you need to use some other means of currency. No dollar bills, nothing, not even a language on that currency that you would understand. If you're going into a bank and you're trying to deposit some money, the only language used in that bank is one that you don't understand. So if you're having a little bit of struggle to do your transaction, the person there would just speak a little bit louder and slower, like you were ignorant. Your children, if they were to go to school, they would learn the language of the invading country. They would even need to change their names away from names that would be familiar to you to names that would match the language of the invading country. Words that to you, names to you that would sound like gibberish. And in many cases, your kids are beginning to know that language better than American English. As a nation, our history is in the process of being erased. We are a conquered people. What kind of emotions does that dredge up? How would you be feeling? Scared? Sad? Depressed, maybe? Right? I mean, I know there's a lot of patriots in this church. How would you feel? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you can hardly imagine the scenario. We don't even make movies with that scenario. We might do it with space aliens, but we would never consider doing it with another country. Now imagine in that scenario, you're cleaning out your house one day, and you see tucked down underneath some furniture something you hadn't seen for more than a decade. American currency. You look on the back of it and you see four words that we take for granted. In God we trust. Imagine if that was you, you'd be just kind of wondering where God was then. All the things that have shaped and formed our nation, all the things that we look to in terms of our core values and identity that make the United States an amazing place to live and a tremendous privilege to be its citizen. They're being erased, gone, worthless. Where's God? Where's God? If you can go to that place emotionally for a moment, and I realize I'm asking you to go to a dark spot, you'd have some idea of what was going on in the nation of Israel at the time the prophecy that we're about to look at was being written. The year was approximately 580 years before the time of Christ. And the nation of Israel as a nation had all but ceased to exist. It had been wiped out by the invading Babylonian Empire. The temple had been torn down. The treasures within the temple had been taken to another country. Can you imagine our Smithsonian's just emptied? All of our collective memory, all of our collective history is gone. Can you imagine for a moment how they might feel? And the question, where is God? You'd be wanting to cry out, right? In anger, in frustration, in pain. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Some of you, maybe even today, might be asking some of the same things. And we come to this passage in Isaiah 40, where through the prophet, these words are given to this nation in the midst of their pain, in the midst of this time that around them, it looks like God is absent. And I want you to hold the grass in your hand as we read this, because you're going to see this metaphor there, okay? Isaiah 40, chapter 1. Comfort. Oh, sorry, starting with verse 3. There we go. There we go. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough places shall become plain, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Verse 6. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? And here we go. This is what you say. All people are like grass. All human faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely people are like grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Surely people are like grass. Just hold that grass in your hand, would you? I picked up enough grass for everyone yesterday. Went to a little field across our, well, actually just by the canal close to our house, and I picked a whole bunch of grass. Chopped it with little scissors. And you know what? Nobody stopped me. Nobody asked me how much I'm going to pay for the grass. Why? Because grass has no value, especially dead grass. It's easily forgotten. The scriptures tell us all people are like grass. You know, some of us are, you know, have the privilege of being planted in places where it's easier to grow. The soil is more fertile. The grass gets taller there without as much effort. Some of us get a little bit more sunlight. Some of us less. Some of us have a chance to spread more seed, grass seed, around than others. But all of us, however old the planet is, however old the universe is, we are just a blip. We are just a nanosecond. We are just like grass. Nobody sheds a tear when they mow the lawn. Scriptures tell us that The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Just for a minute, with the grass in your hand, just blow on it. Some of you can blow it out of your hands. You can see it bend. You could snap it between your fingers if you wanted. All people are just like grass. Our greatest accomplishments in the scope of the history of the universe and compared to the work of God through all time, it's like grass. It's not nothing, but it's pretty close. Most of what you do in life will be forgotten. Many of us will hardly be remembered when we're gone. Welcome to worship. The Bible reminds us that all of us, even the best of us, are a little bit like grass. Just look at the grass in your hand. You know, you could do just about anything with this grass and you wouldn't get arrested for it. You could take the grass that's in your hand, you could, if you left it on the floor and forgot about it, or tossed it in the garbage can, it would, for the most part, people wouldn't notice. You ever feel like that? You know, like all your work, all your contributions, everything you've kind of been about in life is just as pointless as a blade of grass. Now, that's part of the story, but it's not the whole story. I want us to keep reading. You who bring good news to Zion, I'm in verse 9, go up to a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem. Remember, this is a prophecy being given to a people that would be looking out over a Jerusalem that is non-existent. A city in rubble. You who bring good news to Jerusalem. Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Can you imagine living in a country where, I mean, you would never see a police officer or someone from the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Marines. You'd never see someone in the services that worked on your side. Anybody in a uniform would be somebody you should fear. Someone from the opposing army, from the occupying nation. Can you imagine? Lift it up, do not be afraid, and say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Notice the grass in your hand one more time. You could snap it under your fingers. You can blow on it and it will move. I want you to notice one more thing about it, though. Where's that grass? It's in your hand. Piece of grass in your hand. You could take this grass, mix it with other ingredients. You could use that to make bricks. With those bricks, you could build a house. You could build a wall. You could build a cathedral. You could build a city. If it's the right kind of grass and you cut it just right, you could turn it into a reed. It would be an instrument. It could make beautiful music, the piece of grass that's in your hand. If you're a photographer, you could take a photograph of that piece of grass and we would call it art. If you were an artist, you could paint this grass. Or with this grass as a brush. And again, it would be art. What makes the difference between grass that is useless and grass that is valuable. It all depends on who's holding it. That grass is in your hand, isn't it? The Bible tells us that God tenderly leads his children, like a shepherd leads a flock. And though our lives, well, here's if there's one thing to remember today, one big thought, this is what I really believe the Lord's put on my heart for us to hear today through the scriptures. It's simply this. You're not as in control of things as you might think. In fact, you're not as important as you might think. You're just, like all of us, you're just grass. And you are more loved than you could ever imagine. Your biggest problem today is a grass problem, is a grass-sized problem. Your biggest fear, your biggest worry, your concern is a grass-sized problem. It all depends on who's holding the grass and the character of the person holding the grass. So what are you going to do with your grass? What are you going to do with your grass? The Lord's heart to you. The Lord looks at you. His heart is tender. You might not know that. You might not even feel that this morning. You might think that it's God's character to do with this, with your life what you might do to a piece of grass. But you're wrong. The Lord knows even the hairs on your head. And the scriptures tell us that he tenderly leads his people like a shepherd leads his flock. It all depends on who's holding the grass. I'd like to spend a little bit of time in prayer today. And maybe even as just hold that grass in your hand and you think of the worries that you've carried into worship today. I'm sure they're significant. But in the grand scheme of things, they are grass-sized. And I want you to remember whose hand you're in. If you're the grass, who's holding you? And can you sometimes relate to the way that the people that would have heard that first prophecy would have felt? Where it just feels sometimes like life is pointless. It feels like there's just nothing that lasts. It feels like there's no hope. We've got to remember who's holding the grass. Got to remember who's holding the grass. Let's pray together. Lord, these ancient words can anchor us in a deep truth. Help us, Lord, to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, to not get so wrapped around the axle about stuff in life that doesn't go right. And as honest as our hearts break from the tragedy that we experience in life, the times when genuine injustice is done, when things are genuinely messed up and wrong, Lord, help us to remember that we're in your hands. That though life is fleeting and far too short, we are held by you. So, Lord, may even the grass that we carry in our hands today, that remind us of your love and how near you are to those who will place their trust in you and who will remember that we are in your hands. Lord, I pray for my friends today that are carrying big burdens into worship. situations that feel as fragile as a dead piece of grass. A relationship that so strained it looks like it could break. A job situation that you just want to make it through one more day. Those today who are praying for just enough finances to make it another week. Those who are calling out to you for even for life itself. Lord, thank you that we can know that we're in your hands. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.